Power Play. Here's your host, C. Williams.
Let's get a cracking. 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good here on a Monday. Yours truly, C. Williams, in the house. Ari, he's got the dishes. Mike Hugh is back. He's got us up on Facebook Live. Glad you could join us here on this Monday. Coming off of a power, big time, GOAT Vegas sports weekend. Man, a lot of stuff to get to. Before we get into that, Ari, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
It's all good with me, man. All good in the hood.
Working.
Mike, you back in the house. How about this dude? We, last 2 weeks, we got to lax up, didn't comb our hair, didn't brush our teeth, didn't shower.
Speak for yourself.
Just played skins instead of shirts.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of crazy stuff. Anyway, good to be back at you. And before we get to everything else, kind of line things up, Nick Hamilton, our SoCal insider, he's down in L.A. We're talking Lakers with him. They got the Clips tonight. And Westgate Racing Sportsbook has put odds upon whether or not the Lakers will make the playoffs as a proposition bet. We'll get into that. Dope is going to be that final segment before the final go-round. Also, Up in Your Face, good stuff. We'll drop that right behind when we get into the hit list. Some really good, interesting things going on there. Lakers involved, a cute little toddler involved, and just fascinating show lined up. We'll get you started with the hit list. UFC 235 took place at T-Mobile Saturday night. In fact, all these things happened this weekend in Las Vegas, back-to-back, going on simultaneously. John Jones, Smith. You know, it's funny, I'm sitting in a sports book, and I'll never do this again. I promised myself in the past I wouldn't do it, but I did it. Dude walks in to the sports book. This was Saturday. Jones is going to get his blank and blank, 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 blank. Jones is going to get blanked up. Blank. Dude just talking crazy. And I'm listening. I knew the fight was there, and I'm like, you know, maybe he knows something I don't know. Okay? So, looked at the board. Jones was minus 9-1. $9 will get you a dollar. Holla, holla, holla. And the take back for Smith was 6-1. So I'm like, you know, let me just drop a little bit on him, you know. Didn't have a chance. Jones dominated the match throughout from the beginning through the fifth round and eventually got the victory.
Аккуратно, расчетливо разобрал своего соперника по полочкам, но лишнего ничего не сделал. Никакого риска мы не увидели в этом бою. Ну и, как назло, никаких нокаутов, которых нам обещали его тренеры.
Одному из лучших бойцов в истории.
That's Portuguese, by the way.
Ох, какой удар. Напоследок. Колено в прыжке, напоследок.
Mr. Buffer.
Находится на земле, то этот человек приравнивается к положению заземленному, и бить его нельзя.
After five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. All three judges score this contest. 48-44 for the winner by unanimous decision. And still the undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion of the world.
Mr. Buffer dropping it. And that was, of course, Bones, John Jones with the victory in that one. That was Portuguese, by the way. I figured I'd let that float through. Why not? John Jones now 24-1, 31-14 is Smith. I didn't do much homework. It was like guys shouting out in the book. Why not roll with it? And punching 83% to 60% and power drops 75 to 55. Jones, remarkable in the fight as usual. Didn't knock him out, didn't drop him. Here's the thing, though, about John Jones. I hate to say this because I have no proof of it. We can only go off of what we saw in the past. He's dirty. Okay, I said it. He wasn't probably dirty for this fight. Didn't have to be, but when the challenge comes heavier, And I still think what Dana White and Associates did to Vegas the last time he was fighting here, and they took him away and took him to L.A. because he couldn't get sanctioned here by the Nevada Athletic Commission, that was weak, okay? That right there tells you a lot about, it's all about the money. It's all about the bennies, nothing else. That fight, he should have been taken off the card. See, and this is where the UFC protects himself. Unlike boxing. Boxing, a fight card, they'll have the picture of the two main, the guys in the main event, and they'll name it Dungeon in Dayton, Ohio, right? With the two fighters' names. UFC protects himself. They don't go by names, they go by numbers. This was 235. So if the main event is off the card, you rotate the next, the featured bout up, and you still lift it. You're still good. They just don't roll like that. Anyway, Jones got the victory. We move on. Same time, that was at T-Mobile across the way. Other side of the street, east side strip, that would be the Rebels at the Thomas and Mack going against Boise State. Big game for UNLV because coming in here, if they win this ballgame, they put themselves in a position where they could end up number five in the conference of the Mountain West and get a bye instead of playing four games and four nights. They get a bye on Wednesday, and they play Thursday. If they win that, they play Friday in the semis, and then they go to the finals where Reno will probably trouble them. But we'd like to see them get there. They won this ballgame. They had to come from behind and go into overtime to get Boise 85-81. Here's the Sandman, John Sandler, and Robert Smith.
Hardy back to Robotham, left corner Clyburn. Clyburn drives. Clyburn in the lane. Clyburn steps through, lays it in, nice. And the Rebels lead. What a move by Chris.
Nice.
79-78.
Stayed under control.
There you have it. Smith and Sandler, we call him the Sandman. That's my dog. Rebels win that ballgame 85-81. They're now 10-7 in the conference. Air Force is 8-8. Here's the deal. Air Force gets Reno tomorrow. They're not going to beat the Wolfpack, not after what happened. We'll get to that story later. That right there is national news, what happened up at Ogden, Utah. But they get Boise on Saturday. The Rebels, by the way, play Colorado State Saturday. If the Rebels win this game Saturday, they get the 5 seed. If they don't win it and Reno and Air Force loses to either Reno or Boise, then they still get the 5th seed and they get the bye. So that's the setup there. Once again, 85-81, UNLV with the victory. Back to T-Mobile. This was last night. This is all the weekend over here in Vegas, baby. We dropping that sports, man. We the GOAT, baby.
Daytime sports. Game.
Yep. And they so got nice. It done. 4th straight win here for the Vegas Golden Knights. And since they've gotten Mark Stone, they call it the Stone Age, they've been awesome. They've taken down the Stars, the Panthers, the Ducks. And last night, or afternoon, they got the Canucks.
Players try to get that puck through. Nobody could. Down in front, Smith shoots and scores! Cross-crease pass finds Riley Smith. 3-0 Knights with 1:06 to go in the second.
1340. That is, of course, Fox Sports Radio here in the same building on campus here in Lotus Broadcasting. There you have it. So now they've won 4 straight. They are right behind, who is it, Calgary, the Flames, and also the Sharks. So they're 3rd in the Pacific, in the conference, rather. And that's the way it sets up. And then Winnipeg and some of the other teams in the Central. But they're in a good position. They're going to be in the playoffs. Don't know if they're going to make the run they made last year. However, they're in a pretty prime position right now, are the Vegas Golden Knights. Here we go now. We're taking you out now to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engine!
Man, what a great car. What a great weekend for Mustang to be able to get a win and some playoff points, the stage wins. And then Mustang also won down in Australia with McLaughlin. So, man, pretty proud of that. The effort that Ford's putting into this, and also Team Penske. What a great race car. We got to figure our qualifying a little better, but the racing part, the cars are fast. We showed it last weekend, and we're able to show it again this weekend. So, couldn't be more proud of this team. Couldn't be proud of everyone at Pennzoil that supports us. AAA, Money Lion, AutoZone, Snap-on Tools. Wheels Up and obviously Coke, Roush Yates Motors. This is a big motor thing now. You're on the gas so much, you don't lift for the most part. You lift a little bit, but so that horsepower under the hood, it's a huge deal.
That's him, sliced bread, they call him, Joey Logano, spinning that rubber, man, burning that rubber out at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway as he took the Pennzoil 400 this weekend. A lot of action going on out there. It was good to see the Bush brothers do okay. They both came in the top 10, but you want the checkered flag, and Joey got it for his team. Then we went to Sam Boyd Stadium on Saturday, the U.S. Sevens rugby. And I believe, I can't recall who won it last year, but this was actually yesterday was a championship. So it was Samoa against the United States. 27-0. USA, baby. There are many flags in many lands. There are flags of every view. But there is no flag, however grand, like the old red, white, and blue. 27-0, baby. Wow. Put them down. Sam Boyd Stadium. Okay. Now, also, there was some type of bullring action in town as well. Now we're going to take you up to, is it Logan, Utah or Ogden, Utah? It's Logan. Logan, Utah. All right. And this right here was kind of crazy. Great basketball game. I'm watching this on Saturday. And you got the two best teams in the Mountain West going at it. UNR, number 12 in the country. The Wolfpack on the road against the Aggies at Utah State. Utah State, at the time, unranked. But probably in the top 30 at the time, I'm going to guess. And that place was jam-packed. It was standing room only. They had a whiteout. The game down the line, down the stretch. Most of the way, Utah State at home was winning the ball game. At one point, Reno caught him, then back again, back and forth. And also, in the end, Aggies won the ball game. They stormed the court, okay? Now, keep this in mind. When you storm the court, there's an etiquette to it. Your fans have to stay away from the players, okay? And that's part of the security and the ushers letting them down. Because you're letting the student body and the fans come down these certain aisles. You can't let them come down where the players are. Well, guess what? They broke the trend. And somehow the players got down and started touching the Reno players. And allegedly saying things that weren't very nice to the Reno players. And I understand it. And I get it. Even though I'm not supportive of it, I like storming the court. I'm all in on that. But you have to do it with some class and you got to do it properly. So Jordan Caroline, he is one of the best players along with the twins on the Wolfpack. What happened was apparently some fans are touching him and his teammates and calling them names that you really don't want to be called, the N-word and a bunch of other things being said. Okay, that right there, you kind of expect it, you know? You're going to get that from fans in certain parts of the country, like our neighboring state. But supposedly what also took place, while they're in the friendly line of, you know, shaking hands, your opponents, an Aggie assistant is saying, blank you, frog you, to some of the Reno players. And he said it supposedly to Jordan Caroline. And Caroline, afterwards, I know we're not going to use the sound, right?
We can't. I didn't have enough time to cut out all. That was
too many N's and too many F's and too many S's. He was dropping bombs all over the place. I saw the video of it after it happened. ESPN took us back in the locker room. He says, well, check this out. And Jordan Caroline had lost his mind. Something was said to him, all right? I don't know which coach or player. I'm going to say it wasn't a player. But sometimes coaches don't grow up either. And apparently, while shaking his hand, said, blank you, ha! And they had to restrain this dude. They say this is one of the nicest dudes that you could ever find, playing college sports or not, as a person. But he had lost his mind to the point where they had to contain him. They had to actually tackle him, his teammates. And then just all hell broke loose in an area where there was nobody to really get into a confrontation with. But he's yelling, and I'm sure the other team could hear. But there's got to be something done about it. With that loss, Reno falls to 17th from 12th. And the Aggies are number 27 now. So that's pretty cool. You got two teams in the Mountain West biting at being in the top 25. Speaking of which, let's go to Associated Press in the top 25. Gonzaga, the Zags, at number one. It's kind of like musical chairs. Every week, if you get beat, you may fall to five. You don't want to get past seven or anything of that nature, but here we are. The Zags are number one. Virginia's at two. North Carolina, Duke, and then Tennessee. Usual suspects, right? We mentioned Reno, mentioned Utah State, and that's your setup right now as far as things going in Associated Press. So you've got the committee, the selection committee, coming up not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, which will be pretty interesting. And for the Rebels, I'm rooting for the Rebels to finally get that extra day off. The last several years, they've had to play four games in a row, if necessary. They never got past the second. So hopefully things will change in that respect for them coming up now. All right, I think we touched on everything. What time is it, huh?
Up in your face, powered by Symmetry Medical Spa.
I'm going to make this pencil disappear. It's gone.
And now I'm going to have to kill this fucking clown.
What's that noise?
Oops. I farted. I didn't think you would hear me.
Up in your face.
In your face.
In your face.
All right, let's get you going. 16 past the hour, getting up in your face. Tell us about, now you were married. How long?
As soon as you said tell us, I knew what you were going to ask me.
Getting up in your biz, man.
Do you really want to know how long I was
married? No, I want to know exactly
or how long I was
how
with
you
her.
Proposed.
Oh, I did this bit on another show. I'm kidding. It's not a bit. I'm not a conventional person.
We know that.
So I didn't even really want to get married, but whatever. I did.
And, why did you?
Well, because I wanted to be with her for the rest of my life, so I thought. But I didn't necessarily think that that required marriage, right? do you disagree?
Well, not if you're a lady. Not if you're a lady. You want
good answer.
Total control.
Good answer. So, you know, I committed to that. It wasn't supposed to be like a big ordeal. And it wasn't exactly a surprise. So I really just tried to, and she was really hard to surprise. So I tried to use that, the element of surprise. We never go to the strip, rarely. We would never be caught dead on a New Year's Eve at the strip, no less. So we went to dinner on the strip. My friend worked at this place. So that's why we went there, you know, because he got us reservation. Might as well, right? And then I took her on the gondola. Again, like, it wasn't the most romantic thing, the most amazing thing, but she had no idea.
That's awesome.
And I got, yeah.
Did you kneel? Would you kneel down?
I couldn't because there wasn't, but physically speaking, if you've ever been into a gondola, it's like you're kind of sunken. It's like the, you know, the boats on the Venetian, they have the man-made river. So yeah, like your legs are kind of below you. So I mean, technically, so it was a weird.
So how does she react?
She cried and stuff and. I don't remember. It was a weird.
You don't remember.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it was just one of those things. I blacked out and did it. I was nervous, right? So it worked out.
That would have been great if the ring had went in the water.
Yeah, it would have. maybe it would have changed the outcome.
Maybe not. You guys were married for how long?
Less than a year.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Together for 6 years total.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But only about 9 months or so. Yeah. I mean, things just changed. I personally believe things changed in that time period. It wasn't necessarily contingent upon what happened with the marriage, but yeah, things change. People grow.
Well, you had a marriage and your proposal went well, right? Successful. Didn't quite happen this way to this kid named Jack, right? Now,
poor Jack.
Yeah. The weird thing about this whole story is this little girl. She's 3 years of age. Her name is Kaylee, okay?
Kinley? Yep.
Is it Kinley? Okay, Kinley. She's in a preschool place, and there's a bunch of other kids, and Jack had a crush on her. So Jack, at age 3 or 4 years of age, actually proposed to Lady K. Little girl K responded by putting his ass in a headlock.
Her first words to me were, I'm going to be a superstar. Thanks to a video from her mom about that headlock, she already is.
What happened at school?
I took a headlock down and Jack and took it down.
You took him down? Why? What did he say?
Because kids don't get married, so that's why I put a headlock down him in.
When the star of this viral video arrived, she had me take her hand. She walked me back to the studio for a wide-ranging interview about that incident.
Sometimes you just gotta take them down.
About other fun at preschool.
Will you play with slime?
Play with
do
slime?
Circle time?
and along with playing with slime and circle time, her future.
I'm going to be a princess.
Then finally, she opened up about the headlock that's made her famous.
Did he say he wanted to marry you?
Yeah, but kids don't get married, so that's why I put a headlock down in him.
Was that good or bad thing to do?
It's a bad thing.
And in the end, we learned art may play a prominent role in her future and don't rule out a career in TV journalism.
This is Kinley, Fox 2 News.
Nice. Little girl Kay, getting busy. Jack got dropped into a headlock. She put him down.
Up in your face.
In your face.
That's in your stuff. Face.
That's good, man, stuff.
Smart girl.
Well, I mean, if you're the dad, that's daddy's little girl. That's what you want your girl to do.
Yeah, I mean,
keep the guys off.
No, nobody has to get married.
Especially if it's only going to last.
Kids are very genuine.
Couple months.
Yeah, I know, right? Kids know what's up. They go by instinct. So she might have had something there.
And they tell the truth.
I'm saying, yeah. So she might have had. She might be onto something here.
Right.
Oh boy.
What you got?
All right. I know you're not a fan of, you know, specific places, like calling out places, but I have to tell you this story about three Sonic locations in Ohio that have closed down as a result of, get this, their whole staff quitting. Not like some of the people walked out and they were short-staffed and couldn't maintain. It was the whole entire staff. So that, I mean, if that doesn't speak volumes right there, I could probably just end the story already, right?
Okay.
It was first broke via Delish. The report said Sonic employees all walked out, leaving nothing more than a message taped to the window just for any customers to see. I have to read you this letter. It's okay. Hilarious. A lot of spelling errors and cursing, which I will bleep. Due to terrible management, the whole store has quit. The company has been sold to people that don't give a bleep about anyone but themselves. Sorry for the inconvenience, but our team refuses to work for a company that treats their employees like they are beep. When they have put everything into this store, actually says into this story, we have worked too hard for too long. We are all off to better things. So to the new owners, F you.
Gee.
Sincerely, ex-Sonic crew.
Okay. Talking about a headlock.
Yeah, we went from a headlock to that. One of the claims that's being made is a cut in wage. The new management has reportedly cut pay from Ohio's $8.55 minimum wage to $4. Ready for this? Plus tips.
Wait. The minimum wage has gone 50% down?
No. They are paying them. Rather than pay them the $8.55 minimum wage, Sonic, they were paying these employees $4 plus tips. I mean, I've worked in many restaurants. You can if tips are guaranteed or
you
if they're literally
the
part
minimum,
of...
You can't go under the minimum wage.
Actually, you're right. Well, I don't know. On the East, when I worked in restaurants in the East Coast, I mean, I remember making like $2.87 an hour. But I was still...
How long ago was this?
10 plus years. I mean, more than that, 15. I've been over that, yeah. But the thing that I'm looking at is Sonic isn't a tipping establishment. It's not a service sit-down and... So that is, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, if you're rolling out with the big cannons on roller skates to a car, maybe you get hooked up.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, they said that that's not true, that no wage reductions took place. But currently the Sonic locations in Ohio in question are all temporarily closed and expected to be up and running soon. Quote, unquote. Very interesting. Good for those employees.
Up in your face.
In your face.
In your face.
Stick up for yourself.
That's right. Speaking of sticking up for yourself, if you're a fan, if you're a fanatic, and you got bling ice, you got number one hits, your platinum, your gold, your all that, you must be Snoop Dogg, okay? Snoop Dogg's a big fan for the Lakers, and he's got those seats sitting right down front. Wasn't very happy with what took place last night or two nights ago. Actually, it was last night, right?
Yep, last night.
So the Lakers lose to the Phoenix Suns, the worst team in the conference. And they also lost to the Grizzlies recently. They lost to Milwaukee in a game they had the lead in, but they played the Clippers tonight. Keep in mind, coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to have our good friend Nick Hamilton, our SoCal Insider, coming up. But after that, Snoop Dogg, he went on a rant. Do we have him? Let's go with it.
Highly edited.
And it's f***ing terrible watching my Lakers play. Somebody got to go. Somebody got to go. Matter of fact, a lot of niggas gotta go. Starting with the coach. Well, this ain't gonna work. This is not the LA way. Ship all the niggas out. These sorry niggas ain't gonna do nothing. Get LeBron some fucking help. Cause these goofballs ain't gonna do they sorry. They suck. I'm selling my booth right now. I got a booth for the next 2 years, 3 years. This year, y'all can have it. $5 for the booth to the Laker games. $5 is the price. Anybody can have it. All the homies hit me. Blow me up right now.
I got five on it.
I got $250.
Sheesh. That's Snoop Dogg. $5. I got five on it. You believe that? That's getting up in your face.
Up in your face.
In your face.
In your face.
You think he's really going to, like, he's not going to change his mind? I mean, I get it. I get his frustration, but he's, like, the most popular person ever, so I feel like he will get hit up, and they might make him do good on that.
He ain't going to take it for $5. No.
Crazy.
But you know what? And when you're ranting and you're pissed off, you bring it.
Say what you
do. What you do, man. He needs to go and cut some grass.
I'm not mad at his frustration. You know, he roots grass for them when they're doing well, too. So on to some Division II college basketball. Thank you, Mike, for this story. This is a tough one. Indiana University of Pennsylvania, who's ranked number 2 going into the final week of regular season, they showed up for a game against Edinburgh. That's right. But they apparently had no uniforms with them.
Ooh.
A school spokesperson told ESPN one of the team managers simply forgot to bring them, which blows my mind. And the team didn't realize until it reached Edinburgh's gym, which is 100-plus miles away. Reason why this blows my mind is because my job, when I'm out in the field doing the engineering for the shows and stuff, like for VGK and everything, if I forget the smallest thing, it's a huge problem. So, like, and it's all on me. So, just, you have to. So, I'm just wondering how, with the whole staff, not wow. one person caught that. It's a bummer. But the rest of the story goes, good old people in Edinburgh, the true essence of good sportsmanship, they let the Crimson Hawks of the Indiana use their old road uniforms. Crimson Hawks did get the last laugh, however, as they won the game 87-59, giving them the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference West Division crown for the third straight season. I'm sorry. Screw that. You lose. You forfeit. And I'm taking that. I'm not with that kind of sportsmanship. I want the win. If you guys forgot your uniforms, right? I'm not seeing much of shaking your head on that.
No, I'm serious. You're right.
That's crazy to me. But yeah, that's that.
Up in your face.
In your face.
In your face.
All right, we're looking at about 27 after the hour. We're going to step away, cross the street. You don't want to miss it. Nick Hamilton, our SoCal insider. We're talking Lakers. He's going to the game tonight against the Clippers. 4 games behind the Clips right now are the purple and gold. We'll see what they can do. We'll see what Nick has to say next. Little Mo Mamba, baby. That's right. We be dropping it up in here.
I do what I'm told.
Back on the streets of Vegas, 3:32, feeling good as we take you down to SoCal. He's our SoCal insider, Nick Hamilton. Bro, how you been?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing out there?
Doing well, man. The weather has been beautiful. You know, we got snowed in about a week ago, and the rains are coming, but it's all coming from your way. You know it.
I know, right?
Yep. Hey, man, I tell you, the storm is out there, and it ain't good when it comes to hoops. Well, I take that back. On one side of Staples, it's pretty good if you're wearing red and blue with white trim. But if you're wearing purple and gold, ain't so good, is it?
No, not at all, man. This Laker team is, I would dare I say, almost in disarray when you look at what they were supposed to accomplish at season's beginning and then where they ended up, where they are now, rather, and where they possibly might end up at the end of the season. So when you look at all the high expectations that were given and bestowed upon this Laker franchise, with Jeannie Buss being at the helm, with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka being in upper management, and you brought on a superior star in LeBron James, the expectations were pretty high, at least as far as when ending the drought of a 5-year hiatus from the playoffs. now that 5 years is looking like it's going to be 6 years and counting when it comes to not being able to be visible in the postseason due to an enormous amount of things when it comes to this Laker team. I mean, you got to look at upper management. You have to look at, you know, LeBron James. You have to look at the young core. Injuries obviously played a part in it. But at the same time, you also have to look at the head coach. And I know a lot of people cape up for Luke Walton, and I personally like Luke Walton. I think he knows the game of basketball. But in today's NBA, you can't just know the game of basketball. You have to be a manager of personalities. And he is not a great manager of personalities, and that's one of his shortcomings that is going to end up having him on the unemployment line in the state of California at season's end because of that.
That's the voice of Nick Hamilton. He's our SoCal insider talking Lakers. Lakers right now at the Westgate. They have a prop up. Will the Lakers make the postseason? No, minus $9, plus $6 if you'd like to take back of yes. 30-33 right now, 4 games behind the Clippers. They're favored by 3.5 with 2:24 tonight. They're playing the Clippers at Staples. Doesn't matter who the home team is, the better team has been the Clippers.
Yeah, it has. I mean, the better team has been the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers have absolutely had no superstars, but they have no egos, you know, and they've been on the bamboo mentality, bend but don't break. And when you look at the Los Angeles Clippers and what Doc Rivers has accomplished and Jerry West and everybody in the Clippers organization, they've managed to keep everybody in check. Everybody's been playing on one accord. Everybody's on the same page. When I've gone in the locker room many a nights where they've won or lost, they lost together and they've won together. And that's a very important factor, especially down the stretch as they try to make a playoff run, is that there are no egos. There's nobody bigger than the team. Everybody's playing. They kind of have a chip on their shoulder a little bit because everybody didn't expect them to be as high in the standings at playoff time. Everybody was pushing for the Lakers because of LeBron James. So when you look at this Clipper team, they're taking it one game at a time. And when I spoke with Doc Rivers last week, I said, you know, what is the strategy going into this part of the season? I mean, I understand that we know what's at stake, but how do you remain balanced and how do you remain focused on trying to make sure that everybody stays healthy, everybody plays, and the rotations are doing what they're supposed to do? And he said, man, we just got to win. We just got to win one game at a time. We got to take our opponents one opponent at a time and not look ahead as it pertains to, okay, where are we at the standings now? Okay, now we've dropped or now we've elevated. They're just focused on their opponents at hand. And, you know, as they spoke about yesterday on Sunday against the Knicks, you know, preparing for the Lakers, they were like, man, it's more media hype than anything. We're just taking another team who's a potential playoff contender versus us, who is actually a playoff contender. So all we're trying to do is stay in the mix of the playoffs and keep our 7th seed and try to move up if we can. That's their mentality. When you go in a Lakers locker room, it's kind of, okay, LeBron's over here. Okay, you got the young core over here. Even when you look at that atrocious game on Sunday against the Phoenix Suns, you know, basically LeBron was saying, hey, Ingram, it's me and you. And pretty much it's everybody else. So it's just really been a rough time for the Lakers. It's a lot of factors that have contributed to that. The trade rumors and the trade options didn't help this team. You know, there are a lot of factors that played a part into where the Lakers are right now. I mean, Magic made a lot of crucial mistakes. One mistake in particular, not allowing Jerry West to come back as a consultant. And so the Clippers scooped him up, and you see what the result of what Jerry West has done with the Los Angeles Clippers, which is why they're currently in the 7th spot in the Western Conference because of the moves that they've made. But they trusted Jerry West and trusted his brilliant scouting acumen as it pertains to talent.
That's Nick Hamilton. He's our SoCal insider here on Game On. Excuse me, Power Play. Game On was the old show we had right before this one. Let's the Lakers are in the 10 slot right now. You got the Kings, the Spurs, and the Clippers at number 7. You got, 21 games left. Tonight's game is crucial. You mentioned the locker room, and that right there is the key right now. When you walk in the Lakers locker room, Nick, are there cliques? I mean, can you tell, for example, when you see LeBron, I'm not saying that him and Rondo are cliques, but you see LeBron at a big game, the Duke game a couple of weeks ago, Rondo was with him. Other guys may be running with him, but you don't really see any of the younger guys with him. Are there any clicks, and can you tell if that locker room has separated and if Luke Walton has lost the locker room?
Well, I think that there is an aura of kind of distance. If you recall the game on the sidelines, I believe it was in the third quarter about a couple of weeks ago, where Kuzma and LeBron were actually having an argument on the sideline. We hadn't seen that before. And so when I see little things like that, when you see, you know, young guys kind of doing their own thing at times, you know, and you look at how LeBron got away from his original statement. If you recall, LeBron said, hey, if you guys fall, let your brother pick you up. And that lasted probably, a few weeks, and then they went back to business as usual. I've seen guys fall down. He doesn't come over there and pick them up. There's other guys that will pick them up. It's not him. And when you look at certain things, you know, like I said, on Saturday night against the Phoenix Suns, I mean, throwing the ball off the backboard just out of frustration, causing a turnover. I mean, LeBron addressed it and said it was a dumb play. But, I mean, you just see the effect of when the young guys make a mistake and how LeBron just looks extremely frustrated. And so that doesn't help the morale. It doesn't boost the confidence, I should say, of the younger players. And the younger players are like, hey, man, we're trying to ball out here just like you. The one guy that stood out amongst anybody has been Brandon Ingram. I mean, he's averaged about 28 points per game since the All-Star break. He shoots 75% from the free throw line, about 47% from three. So he's vastly improved. And this is the Brandon Ingram we've all been waiting for to emerge since since the day he was drafted. And so when you look at what Brandon Ingram has done, but then it seems like Kyle Kuzma's kind of taking a back seat from time to time. And, of course, they've lost Lonzo Ball, who has been an integral part of moving the offense and the offensive flow. So you're going to have those. You're going to have that situation that you're dealing with. I don't know if Lonzo Ball comes back in time. If there's about the Lakers have about 19 games remaining in the season. If Lonzo Ball doesn't come back until there's about 7 games left in the season, I don't think he should come back. Yeah. I think he should just stay out and get healthy and get ready for next season. There's no point in it, especially if they're out of the playoff run, which I believe they're not going to make the playoffs at all.
And that's my question. That's my next question, Nick. Okay, looking at the schedule, I mean, they've got the 6 most difficult schedule remaining to the Lakers in the association right now. So with all that being said, you look at the Lakers, you look at LeBron, you look at the team, and you look at Luke Walton, the whole situation, and then you take a look at Zion Williamson of Duke, who's going to be the number 1 overall selection. All right, if you're Magic Johnson, when do you decide, if this spiral keeps going downward with the snowball, when do you decide, if you decide, to either sit LeBron or figure out a way to start tanking so you could climb up the ladder and see how close you could get to the top in the draft?
Well, I think tanking is definitely not the answer. They're not even thinking like that. Magic Johnson is way too competitive along with LeBron James. They're way too competitive to do that, so you won't see LeBron sitting down anytime soon because they're looking at it as this, hey, man, can we finish strong enough? We may not make the playoffs, but can we finish strong enough to attract a free agent? Because right now you're an audition for a free agent this coming summer. So what you have to do is, even if you don't make the playoffs, if you can finish the last maybe 6 or 7 games strong, maybe go into a winning streak, finish strong enough to say, hey, you know what? We're almost there. We need 1 more player or 2 more players in the mix, and we'll be right back in the playoff hunt. This is what they're playing for, I believe. When you look at, I think it's absolutely ludicrous for anybody to say, and I've heard a lot of different, you know, media outlets and reports that say, oh, LeBron should sit out. That is the most ludicrous thing you can ever say, because LeBron, say what you want about LeBron James, he has his faults. And one thing about LeBron, he is the ultra competitor. He is the guy that's going to try to give it his all. He's a guy that's going to try to make sure that he's going to try to finish strong. And try his best to rally his troops. But unfortunately, that hasn't worked. LeBron has to get used to the Western Conference as well. In the Eastern Conference, he can do things like this, and they would make it into the playoffs because obviously the Eastern Conference was a weaker conference than the West. But you're in the West now. You're with the big boys with the big boy pants on. And so these are kind of moves that you can't make when you're competing for a playoff spot. And so I think they're not worried about the lottery. I think Zion Williamson, as it pertains to him, I think he goes to New York and becomes a star in New York. And I think the Lakers, whoever they get, they will probably use that draft, that draft pick as maybe a tradable asset piece in the summertime, in the offseason, as they try to maybe go back and revisit the Anthony Davis trade. They can also try to acquire another free agent. But it's going to be extremely difficult. But this is going to be the biggest summer. And I do mean the biggest summer of not only LeBron James' career, but the franchise known as the Los Angeles Lakers with Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, and Jeannie Buss since we've seen Shaq back in 1996 and when they drafted Kobe Bryant. So yep. This is going to be a make-or-break summer for the Los Angeles Lakers, not only as the players on the floor, but as an organization.
Nick Hamilton, our SoCal insider here on Power Play. Pause to let Ari look at me and give me that look. Anyhow, here's the deal. Here's the deal with this. All right, you mentioned his guys. I don't know if there is his guys anymore, referring to teammates for LeBron James. But the thing is this, all right? You look at all the things that went haywire for the Lakers. If you measured everything from LeBron to Magic to the brow, keep going down the line. What was the number one thing that screwed this whole chemistry up for the Lakers?
Well, one thing, let's go back to the foundation. Look at the team that was assembled for LeBron James and look at the previous history of teams that were assembled around LeBron James to be victorious. LeBron James has to be equipped with not only a couple of shooters but a volume score. Now, you look at the Miami Heat teams, you look at the recent Cleveland Cavalier teams, he's always had a couple of shooters and a volume score. On this Laker team was not assembled the way that it should have been. Not only that, again, as I mentioned earlier, the other mistake was not acquiring Jerry West's services, who is a Laker through and through that wants to see the team get back to prominence. When you passed on him, that was the first domino to fall. Then you didn't have an opportunity. You had an opportunity to get Boogie Cousins. You passed on him. Where did he go? He went to Golden State to make them an even bigger juggernaut than what they already are. So now you have to compete with the Golden State Warriors. Then you didn't equip him. You didn't equip LeBron and surround LeBron with the proper team that he should have been equipped with. Then you allow the tradable asset pieces and the information to get leaked out into the media without talking to those younger players prior to, which is why I've always said, even you look back in the early 2000s and the 90s, this is why GMs and presidents of basketball operations, when they made trades, it was always in secret because you wanted to avoid this type of meltdown or this type of feeling in the locker room amongst younger players. And then Magic waited way too late to talk to the players way after the trade deadline in Philadelphia, went before they played with the Sixers at a couple of weeks after the trade deadline. By then, it was too late. You can't put the crap back in the horse. So Magic should have been more proactive as far as how he handled a lot of different things. I don't understand the sense of urgency to trade for Anthony Davis when you knew he had about another 2 years left on his contract. You could have pushed for Anthony Davis in the offseason, because even if you got Anthony Davis, it still wasn't going to be enough to overthrow the Golden State Warriors. You weren't going to make the NBA Finals. You weren't going to even make the Western Conference Finals. So why was there such a sense of urgency for Anthony Davis?
Nick, I got to jump in. Hey, quickly, before you go, final score tonight.
I think the Lakers win by 7.
Give me a final.
Ah, see, and you put me on the hot seat. I'm going to say 112. I want to say 112-104.
112-104. Lakers covering the under. That's our handicapper out there in SoCal, Nick Hamilton. Nick, let the folk know where they can find you, bro.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA. You can also catch me every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. The morning after with Nick Hamilton, Accelerated Radio, iHeartRadio. Thank you so much, C, man. Appreciate you. And we'll see how these Lakers pan out, man.
We'll lock you in the future early, bro.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Nick Hamilton, he's our SoCal insider. Across the street, lighters up. Dope is next.
saved for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin. Hey, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
353 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Let's start you with this one. You might think it's dope. You may not. Ari, you ever been pulled over by the man and given a DUI, DWI?
Oh, absolutely not. I've been pulled over many times. I
bet you have.
I have. And I am definitely no angel, but probably the strongest thing I'm against in life practically is DUIs.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'll never be impaired at all while you're under the wheel.
Whatever. I'm just saying, like,
by alcohol.
In Vegas, what I've seen by people getting, I don't really drink anymore anyway, but yeah, it's disgusting. It's ruined a lot of lives. I know it's supposed to be a dope story, but maybe a feel good one. But yeah, it's ruined a lot of lives in my life, a lot of people. So yeah, I'm not a fan.
All right, let me jump back in. The reason I say that is because here in the state of Nevada and across the country, this came out back in the summer, a couple of months back. And they're now looking, lawmakers, they're looking to pass a law called the Texalizer. Okay? You know, the breathalyzer is if they pull you over and they, you know, check you and you blow a certain amount, you know, you just broke the law, you're going to jail. Well, the Texalizer, after a car accident, you have a car accident, and if they believe that maybe you were texting, and perhaps that was part of the reason why you crashed, the Texalizer, the cops have the right to pull your phone and check to see if you were on the phone near that accident point. You in or out?
I'm on board 100%.
Same here. Hunt in here.
And I text my... So used to not... I'm not sure when I can say stuff. I text my ass off at a red light. I really do. And, you know, I pull over. Whatever you got to do, but... I understand.
You know that's against the law.
Yeah, I know.
You
got to
pull over.
I don't. That's fine.
So you, like, just confessed on the air that you break the law.
Yeah, sure. And I pay attention. You know,
not me.
The light's turning, and as soon as the light turns green, I put the phone down. But yeah, I'm definitely on board with that.
Not here.
My point is, I can empathize with people. I know how urgent the texting is. I'm being sarcastic, but I know what it's like. You're trying to finish a thought. Seat's texting you. We gotta have this sound. I had to tell him whatever. So I get that. But yeah, it's out of control. I mean, literally every time I'm driving, they turn my head to the right or left. It's not even, it's second.
Right.
Driving is secondary. It's tweeting, texting. So.
Yeah, well, Michelle Garlow, she's District 35. She's the one that put this into where they're trying to get this bill passed, Nevada Assemblywoman. So we'll see what happens on that. Pretty dope story. I think it should pass. I hope it happens. You see so many people riding around like dopes while they're driving and texting.
Yeah, well said. I just got a little one here. This is interesting. You don't remember the band Prodigy by any chance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Well, allow me to maestro this part here. So the guy, Keith Flint, he's the founding member, passed away today. I'm not really sure why, but his natural causes, they're saying, even though he's 49, so that's kind of fishy, but I'm sure there'll be more out on that. I just came across a funny story. I wanted to incorporate them somehow because I just like them a lot. And there's a quick little story here about a woman on Twitter who says, "So sad about Keith Flint. I gave birth to my eldest son accompanied by Firestarter playing away because my husband had, in a mad panic, picked up the wrong tape. And instead of giving birth to Enya and some ocean sounds, it was the Prodigy. I don't regret it either." I thought that was a pretty dope way to send someone off, right?
Yep. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Let me jump on this one. This goes to Switzerland. And this gentleman named Jir Haugimo.
I'm sure that's
Haugimo.
Right.
We'll go with Jir Hau or Hell, whatever his name is. Anyhow, this guy's the number one bridge player in the world. Okay? And they popped him at this tournament in Orlando, Florida recently. And it comes to now as far as the courts. The dude's juicing. He's doing steroids. He's a bridge player. I mean, okay, all right, what is this? I mean, is it your lifestyle? Or does it make you think better because you're buffed? You're sitting there playing bridge at the table and you got your guns up on the table. Right. He's got to be going sleeveless, huh?
How old is this guy?
Is he in a wife beater?
I'm thinking like a 70-year-old man playing. It's bridge, right? I mean, is that
well? No, he's the best in the world, so he's the real McCoy.
Sure, but I'm saying that's not really like a young man's
find his
game,
age. I don't see his age here, but the dude is he's representing what country
that's
is that?
Something.
Monaco. He's representing Monaco, but he's basically now stripped of every championship he's won in his whole career. So he's done.
What a dope.
He's done. It's all over. Man. That's about it too. Speaking of all over,
burn your bridges.
Nice. Good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, brother. That'll wrap it up. We just about ran out of time here. Thanks for joining us. Good to have Mike Q back. One reminder, beginning next week, we're going to be up on lvsportsnetwork.com with Facebook Live. So that, therefore, everything will move around. You get more people to look at us, and we'll check it out and get the word out. Thanks to Nick Hamilton. Thanks for Ari. For Mike Q, our co-producer, I'm Seed Williams. Remember, folk, 10 Stuck Low, Guards Up High. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show next Monday. It's Power Up. Power Out.